Hello, it's Katie and Melissa.
Hey, this is Doug. How are you? This
Doug.
Is Doug. Hi, Doug.
Man. What's up?
We're great. How are you doing?
Where are you calling us from today, Doug?
Pasadena.
Oh, okay.
And, it's kind of nice out here. We played a place called The Rose the other night. Beautiful, sold out little show. It just keeps happening for us for some reason. And we had to take off 3 days out here instead of coming all the way back across. It's not bad for us to take a couple of days off and have a good time and go out and eat sushi and come back. And some people call it bait, you know.
Yes.
Our redneck friends that work with me and work for me said, let's go get some bait tonight. You know, it's not going to get any better than that because of what, you know, we're 99% redneck. my band is Marshall Tucker Band, and that's the beauty of our band is, you know, when everybody says they don't, you know, we need a break from each other for a couple of days, you know, I've been on the road for almost a year now, and then the next morning I get texts from everybody about the same time, and they say, I'll meet you downstairs for breakfast.
Oh, that's so, great. What time is that?
Oh, it's early.
Really?
We're all early risers because, you know, we all got to have that nap in the afternoon. So. Been around 45 years, what do you want, you know?
Being that it's been 45 years, you've had a pretty incredible history. Does it feel like it's been that long?
No. This is the old California and new California has met each other. So it's really nice. And it's been good to us over the 45 years. And yeah, I feel like this is just another start for the band because every band had this ebb and flow, you know, and it's high tide and it's low tide. And luckily we remembered that as we started this band, we knew that it might not last forever. So we need to buy as much beer as we could in the beginning. so that it would last this long. That's partially true, but we knew we had to prepare for some things. And we really did prepare for trying to make a long stay of this thing because look, we'd already been to Vietnam. You can't prepare yourself for the worst any more than that. So we came back and decided we'd all get a job, and getting a job was kind of freaky in itself so quick after that period, but then we all knew we had to do that. And so we decided we'd put one more year into it because we'd been in bands all along in the beginning, in high school and stuff like that. So we said, well, let's just put it together and make it really, really strong and try to write our own material and have our own material. Toy and myself and George and Paul and Ringo. No, but it was Paul. But it was so much fun just to do that. We all look forward to it. I was working in a bank. And I asked the guy if I could, you know, start growing my hair back out after Vietnam. He said, I don't care what you do. You better wear a coat and tie. And I went, oh, boy, this is going to be nice. Because if you look at those early pictures, people would think of us as the sweet tea guys.
Melissa and I actually went to a movie a little while ago, and we were talking about, and if you don't mind, you were in Vietnam?
Sure.
We were just
68.
We were talking about this was showing some war scenes from, you know, a long time ago, and I thought we can't imagine because we weren't there, and I guess because we're women too, what that must have been like. How young were you? How many years did you serve?
Oh, I wasn't in there, but let's see, 19 months, 4 days, 6 hours, 22 minutes, and 16 seconds.
So you know exactly how long you were, and that's a long time, 19 months, and how old were you?
Yeah, I was 18. I had just turned 18, and, you know, we had to draft then. And being a woman has nothing to do with understanding war.
Facing battle, you know, it does, though, because we've never been drafted, and we never were 18 years old, and we're looking into the eyes of people that you had to kill, I guess, you know? So I appreciate that you were seeing us as strong women, but at the same time, it's something that we haven't had that experience of, and I just want to touch on it a little bit with you because that's a really incredible experience.
You're not really prepared for it. You're trained for it, but you're not really prepared for it. Okay,
yeah.
You walk away with a lot of things still in your mind and in your heart, and the actual being over in a different country, being young, you're kind of having to be told what to do just about all the time because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do. So you just follow orders. And I came back a sergeant. And I don't know that you know this as far as what's going on about the band, but the Marshall Tucker Band went back to Iraq and played for the troops as well.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
How long ago?
Well, that was about 2 months before they got Saddam, before they found him in the hole.
Wow.
Right. So we had guys over there, and a lot of them were from down south, and they were rednecks just like us, except for everybody was walking around in got to stay in Kuwait, and then we got to stay in the hotel over there that Saddam, you got the pictures of him sitting in that big red chair.
Yes.
And guess what? I got a picture of me sitting in the big red chair.
Good for you.
Yeah. And the guys were laughing at it, me sitting in right outside at the hotel there. And we had to sleep in that hotel that night because that's where they put us. It's not really a hotel. It's an old, it's the old building that they had over there left after they took, military took it over. But the picture tells a thousand words. There's a thousand things that I could tell you about that Iraq thing because, you know, when you go to Vietnam, you certainly get scared to death. And I know a lot of people that left there and they still hold the military and the Vietnam in their heart. So that was one of my reasons for wanting to go back. Now, these guys are an entirely different group of guys. You know, everybody calls them the new band, but they've been there 25 years.
Right.
And that's why I said what I did about the women, too, because we had women over there in Vietnam, and then they were in the hospital areas and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Non-combative situation. That makes you not any less honorable to what you've done.
Absolutely.
So we get to Kuwait, and then we go over there, and we're going into the places, and there's more women in the barracks. We'd stay in these different places. We stayed over about 10 days playing in different places, but we didn't do the movie star role that when they go over there and all the generals are there, right?
Right.
So we went over there and got to know those people, and there was as many women as there was men because of the timing of everything that was going on.
Right.
And some of them had been in the military for a long, long time. You know, kind of brought back memories to me that I probably shouldn't have brought back up. But in my mind, but the good part was, you know, they got him a couple months later. And the reason I think it was he was doing bad things.
Yes.
People was doing bad things.
Yes. How did that just sort of shape the rest of your life coming back to the United States? And then did it make you go, I'm going to be in this band. I want to do exactly what I want to do and I'm going to be successful? Or how did that change you coming back?
Well, my mama had always beat me to death every time. At 7 years old, she would, mom and dad would, down south, we call it beat you to death. And they were on your back. And, you know, there's several different ways to say it. There was plenty of things, you know, but my mom would always take me. At 7 years old, she took me to a VFW and AMBETS thing. My father was in the military, Air Force as well. She would take me out to places, and it was like when volunteer fire departments raise money, they have a show, and, you know, they've got these flea market things that they do, or did back then. So that was something just for the community to get close to and back up to the firemen and stuff like that. Mama would take me to the VFW and we'd play these fire stations. And I say play, it was only me. Mother would make me get up there and sing a song. But that's why I need the support that I do every day.
You know? That's so awesome, though.
Because I don't want to ever hear myself by myself. You know? Sometimes you just don't appreciate other people. And then I will say that with stuff that my mother pushed on me has lasted for quite a long time. I'm 69 years old now. And I think back and we all get together and tell stories on the bus. And it's like story topping, you know, it's the things that we did with our family. And a lot of them, you know, just recently I had a friend that lost his mom. I called him. He says, man, I can't believe you actually called me. I said, well, you know, we don't have to be together every day for somebody to appreciate the fact that you just lost your mom. I think it freaked him out that I actually called, and I had read about it, honestly, on Facebook, and thank goodness for Facebook.
Yes.
But yeah, I would have never known, you know?
Yes.
You know, those things forming you and putting you in a mold, a lot of people appreciate the fact that we did what we did. We took people away with Marshall Tucker Band. We were taught after the first two or three, well, I'd say first album, we were taught by our families to respect everybody. So we all respected each other, and maybe one or two of us didn't show up on time for rehearsal. Right? So when we got together, it made a big difference. So as we grew to know each other as Marshall Tucker Band in the beginning, some of that military stuff fit in, the background and what made us be who we were. When we went out on the road, we were known as the nice guys in the rock and roll business because we weren't throwing telephones and, excuse me, we weren't breaking telephones because they were on the wall back then.
You weren't rolling around on the bar floors and stuff.
No. You know, Ronnie Van Zant was really my buddy that we hung out with when we were out with Skynyrd after the major tours with the Allman Brothers. And then we took Skynyrd out a couple times as openers. And then all of a sudden, Ronnie and I was out hanging out together. And this was a special time. You know, you really gained a lot of friendship and created who Marshall Tucker was, not just Doug Gray, but Marshall Tucker Band. We learned by doing that. And one time, Ronnie and I think he set a beer on top of a TV, and then accidentally, I think he poured it down in there on purpose. So you heard what I said, I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, he poured that thing down there, and it was like, God, are we that drunk? And so I realized that somebody tomorrow would have to pay up, right? That TV didn't come off. So I went down to the front, and I said, it was an accident. Whenever we were walking by, you know, we poured it into the TV. And poor Ronnie, he just got far out there for a long time. But he was the greatest guy, I will tell you that. And we had so many great times together. And some of these guys, they laugh at it sometimes, some of these jokes I tell. But most of them are not really jokes. They're serious things that happen.
And you just think about what a special time that was in the South. And I grew up in Atlanta. Melissa didn't, but she sure respects and loves the Southern rock, too. And it really, it's a blend. It's when you talk about the Allman Brothers, Skynyrd, you guys, it's such a blend of different types of music. That's what makes Southern rock so special, is it's not just Southern rock. It's a little bit of everything.
Billboard magazine said it best of all, I think, in one of the articles. This is when we were charting a whole lot. They said they play rock, they play jazz, they play country, and God knows their country. This was after I did the interview with the guy. He said, God knows their country, but one thing that's the most important thing about this band is we don't know what kind of band they are, so keep your eyes open and listen for them.
Wow.
That was really a nice thing because, you know, I got to know the guy after 30 minutes of a conversation. We don't know what kind of band we are because kind of like making soup. Being from the South, you make soup on Sunday with all the leftovers you had. That would be my mom or many moms and dads, you know, that was out there during that early period of time, even before we had bands together. But you'd always look forward to mom making soup on a Sunday, because that was the day that all the leftovers were going bad in the refrigerator.
But it made a hell of a soup, didn't it?
Dog, man, I'm going to tell you something. You didn't know what it was going to be. It might look like tomato, but it tasted like fish. Okay? I don't know.
And that's how you see the band.
Yeah, but no, I look at you know, like it as a vegetable soup. You've got all these different vegetables in there, and you like to taste every part of it when you're doing that. And so with everybody playing in the band and having different likes and different backgrounds, of course, we played the Grand Ole Opry and been invited to play there. So happy to do that every time. Being able to do that kind of stuff and then go and open for Kid Rock and then go out and, of course, play with Zac Brown. And you do know that Clay Cook is my nephew in Zac Brown.
No! Right? Wow. I did not know that. Wow. Okay.
I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah, you did. I know you must have.
We loved that. We love that band. They're some amazing musicians, all of them.
Every single person, Coley and Zach and everybody, mm-hmm. you know, and people, a lot of people ask me about this, and being from the South, you don't just pick a person, you know, but if I'm doing a really, really large interview somewhere for a major company, it's all about explaining who, you know, one guy asked me, he said, let me ask you something. Who will I be interviewing in 20 years, maybe 30 years, that's still in the business?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say Zac Brown.
Yeah.
Simply because of the beauty of the music, first of all, how it relates, you know, and I've had plenty of time to think about all this stuff, how it relates, not just because Clay's there and Clay's got a new baby now, so we're all real happy. It turns a year old Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're related in a lot of different ways. A lot of people need to put that back into gear where we're all just, not necessarily from the South, not to separate yourself from the rest of the world, but put a little bit of movement in there towards being a little smiley to somebody you don't even know. And you'd be surprised, you might get one back.
And speaking of that, BB, I love BB and go way back with him, just loving Mother's Finest. Tell me about your relationship getting BB Borden with your band.
First of all, he's been wanting to be in the band since like forever before he was. I knew him from Mother's Finest as well. You don't get any funkier than that.
I know. He's so great.
You know, that guy can play. I liked him when he had that big fro.
Yes.
If you look at those old pictures and then you laugh at BB now because he's, I call him one pocket because he ain't got enough ass to carry two pockets on the back, you know, of his pants.
That's great.
As I straighten these things out, I have to understand that I know him extremely well, but not that close, okay?
That's cute.
But I'm really proud of BB, too, because he's been sober now for, I think it's going on 15 years.
Wow.
And, I think that's what's kept him out here and being active and doing what he's doing. And he just lives right there in Atlanta, too. So
oh, yeah.
That makes it special.
Tell us about this Georgia Jam that you're doing. It's called Georgia Jam, but it's really just the two shows, the one in Macon and the one in Atlanta, right?
Right. Well, Georgia Jam was only one in the beginning, and then it grew to several of them across the area there. But it's not just about the people from Georgia. It was about a lot of different people that I know, like, are going to come up and show up for hours. You know, we got people that's played with us a bunch of times that's called me up or left me an email saying, man, you really mind if I come? And no, man, that's what it said. Georgia Jam is very strong. I think it's going to be recreating stuff that used to be. And, you know, you can already tell in my voice how I like to do that. Mm-hmm. Recreate the moments in time that we had at some of those jams before where people would come in and they would play. They're not looking for money. They're not looking for anything. But people are going to be able to enjoy this kind of reminiscing of not just the music, but of the time. But watching people working together. You know, I like to throw things up in the air and see how it falls. Say if I did Hurt It in Love Song or Take the Highway, you throw it up and see if there's a person standing on the side of the stage or that we've already got plugged in and they're ready to work. Mm-hmm. You know, they're ready to play. So we just throw those people up there. We've been a jam band ever since before our beginning because of the ability for us to sing country music, then play rock and roll music, and then not really changing over to something, but changing into a different person or trying to, I guess how I could say it is, you don't want to be somebody you're not, okay?
Right,
so
right.
When we do rock and roll, the rock and roll part is I just don't change into the rock and roll. I just stay the same person. And that's what's made it kind of nice for a lot of people. I would like to be able to say that there's a lot of other people coming. The jam will be fine. Everything's going to be good. I can't wait for people to start seeing it. Maybe we could make it a continuous thing so other bands could come in and have a great time and people would look forward to all these bands, all these individuals getting up there and playing with different bands because you need to get to know them a little bit better. And individually, I think that's the perfect way to do it.
They announced who's going to be playing with you in Macon, but not for the Atlanta show yet. Do you know who that's going to be?
I do know that it's going to be very similar to what we had in Macon, but we're not really sure because there's a lot of invitations out. Plus, there's a lot of people calling. And so in order to me not step on anybody's toes, I would just rather keep it to the fact of what we're doing right now. An evening with Marshall Tucker Band for a real jam.
Gosh, Doug, it is just such a pleasure to talk to you. Next time we get on the phone together or in person together to talk, we need some more good stories from you because I know you've got a lot of them there from the days of, I just think about the 70s and growing up in this town and all the fun bars and just crazy times with you guys.
You said bars. I never went to a bar in Atlanta.
Come on. You don't remember like Finocchio's?
And I was playing Richards years ago.
Ah, there you go. That's it.
I have so many stories just from that place in the beginning that it would take 4 or 5 hours. Maybe we should just come down there and record a whole bunch of stuff and you have some fun with it.
There, I would love that.